Hello and welcome to Defend Your Ship. We are once again quarantined, as are you, we hope.
It's a time. It's a time.
Yeah, that's going to be our new catchphrase by the end of this. Defend Your Ship. It's a time.
It's a time.
Raina, what are you into this week? I think we've skipped this segment the last couple weeks. Yeah.
So I've been into a lot of things. After almost more than a decade, I feel at this point, I finally finished Gurren Lagann.
How did you like it?
The second half is definitely better than the first half.
Yes, that's fact.
My problem was that I could never get past like the first 8 or 9 episodes, which to me felt like very generic sort of shonen anime. But the second half, from like episode 16 on, I feel is where it gets much better. If only due to ridiculous space wars that make no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. As you know, I love that show. So I'm glad you finally finished it. And I think we're going to get to your thoughts on that later on in this episode.
We are. Steven Universe also ended. Like, entirely ended. On Thursday, and that took my entire heart. So,
oh boy.
TLDR, Steven turns into a monster because he can't deal with his own trauma, and the gems basically save him by getting him in a group hug and telling him that they love him and that they're here for him.
Aww. And then it ends?
Well, no. And then he turns back into a regular human, starts going to therapy.
Good.
And then decides that he's going to go on a cross-country trip and move out of Beach City.
Great. That sounds like, those both sound like good adult human goals.
He and Connie officially start dating, finally.
Oh, that's cute.
Gonna see her looking at colleges while he goes across the country. And his dad is taking over his old room.
Aw. Aw.
So his dad will finally have somewhere to live that is not his van.
Aw, well, that's cute. Oh, bless.
And he's afraid that the gems won't take it well, and then they're completely blasé about the thing, and he's very confused until, like, the very end when he's driving away, and he's like, why are you not more upset? And they were like, we are upset. We just didn't want to stop you.
Oh, perfect. Well, you know what I'm into this week. It's the same thing I've been into. Read a great fan fiction for it, though. This one is called Unstrictly Ballroom by Ariaste. Assuming I'm pronouncing that name right. It is an untamed fan fiction, obviously. But check out the plot, though. Okay? You ready for this?
Sure.
Disgraced competitive ballroom dancer becomes stripper, then 10 years later, 13 years later, someone he knows finds him at the strip club and says, come back with me to overthrow the ballroom establishment.
the ballroom establishment.
Yep. Yep. So I think it's just very, you know, in the zeitgeist in terms of sex work positivity and also overthrowing the establishment. It okay. is amazing. There's a sexy tango scene. I mean, it's really got everything you need.
Okay.
That's it. That's all I have to say. It was very good. Raina, would you like to introduce our topic for today?
Yes. So, in a, I guess, attempt to keep talking about random things from our youth slash creative, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess creative infancy.
Creative infancy.
We decided to do an episode talking a little bit about Stevie's love, but mostly my love of Studio Gynex.
Yes.
The edgelords of the anime world.
And I just want to be clear that my love of Gynex is a very particular and pointed, very direct love for Tangentopa Gurren Lagann.
Whereas mine is more sort of spread out over the 90s and 2000s. And then led to other production studios that were made from Gynex that made other things that I love dearly. So...
yeah, Studio Trigger in general, right?
Studio Trigger, Gonzo, and now Hideki Anno has created his own studio called Studio Kara. So
awesome. So how do you want to start with this? Do you want to take us through, like, the studios, or is there a particular anime you want to start with?
Well, I feel like... obviously, the place you have to start with Gynex is Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Yeah, start at the very beginning, a very good place to start with one of the internet's favorites.
I was one of the people that saw Evangelion, I want to say in 2006, 2007, when it was being released on Adult Swim. Before that, it was like out on DVD, but it had never really aired on American television.
Wow.
So
I didn't realize it aired here that late.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Well, because like for the longest time, besides like Sailor Moon and like the Sunday morning cartoons, you couldn't really, the way that you had to watch anime was either to like get DVDs that costed like $20-$30 for two episodes, or like sketchy fan subbed videos that you got at conventions.
Yeah, I've watched some of those. Yeah.
And Eva was made in the 90s from 1995 to 1996. And for anybody that, well, I don't want to say lived under a rock.
Me, but... I lived under a rock. You can just say me. You don't have to be general. You can just call me out. I have still never seen this anime. So like, yeah, load up, call me out.
Neon Genesis, Eva is an anime that I both love and hate at the same time. I love it because it definitely is one of those animes that revolutionized the mecha genre and gave it sort of this new idea of like mecha with philosophy and what it means to be human. But it's also one of those animes, I like to characterize it as like fake deep freshman philosophy major type of. I actually just made Betty Brash watch End of Evangelion with me last weekend, which is the movie that ends the original series. And that was completely made by Hideki Anno, who is one of the co-founders of Gainax, and is also probably, again, responsible for many, many fake deep things.
That's a good way to be remembered. I mean, you didn't do anything that was too intense or too deep, but you did make a lasting impression on internet culture. And you're fake deep.
Well, I call him fake deep because, so Evangelion has a lot of like Christian imagery and Christian philosophy and stuff from the Apocrypha and the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Oof.
And people have like written papers about it and philosophized about it. And Anno has basically just said, I just wanted it to look cool. Don't think into it that deeply.
Wonderful.
It's not that deep. I just thought it was cool.
That is bold. Like, that is bold coming from the guy who created the anime that everyone thinks is deep.
And, like, just the merchandising of Evangelion, even to this day, is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Their own theme park?
Then what? I'm sorry. What do you do at the Evangelion theme park?
Well, so there's a life-size bust of Eva Unit 1, which is the main mecha unit. They couldn't make the entire Eva, but they have a life-size bust that you can take pictures.
Oh my god. Can you get up in it?
No, you can't go up in it.
What? What use is that? What are you... What use is that if you can't get in the robot?
Unfortunately, you just get to look at the robot head.
That's not a cool line. Shinji, look at the robot is not a cool line.
I mean, the robot head is pretty fucking big still.
Okay. I'm preemptively bummed. I've never seen this show or been to that theme park, and I'm already bummed.
That's on my bucket list, is to go to Ava World at Fuji Q one of these days. Just so that I can have ultimate regret. They also have a roller coaster, I believe. They have a bunch of, like, life-size character statues and things. I don't know. It's a lot of weeb shit.
That's about what I would expect to be there.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it might be something from my nightmares, but I have to know.
Yeah, that tracks. I think you have every right to know.
And obviously, besides Evangelion, probably my most favorite of Gainax's works is FLCL.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as Fooly Cooly, which came out in 2000 and was one of the animes. I actually saw FLCL before I saw Evangelion. And it was the things that made me obsessed with sci-fi.
I think I saw it in high school. I had a friend who was, like, obsessed with it, and he got me to watch it. And after I watched it, I took all of his recommendations for all television for the rest of our lives. Because I like, it was that good.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I like about FLCL is because in a lot of ways, FLCL is sort of a answer to Evangelion in the fact that at that point, Gainax became so big because of Evangelion. They were like, let's just make something ridiculous that is super simple, doesn't really have much like over the top background or story, and just make 6 episodes of it.
Yeah.
And it's just about puberty and a teenage boy that has crushes on all the older women around him and has robots and other weird mecha stuff come from his forehead.
Yeah, and like puberty, the show does sort of just smack you in the face and go, fucking here, take this, and then it leaves.
Which actually, Production IG did make two sequel series, I want to say in 2018. Yes, 2018.
I remember hearing about that, but I'll very often just ignore the existence of sequels, so I don't know how they were.
They were pretty good. The sequels, besides Haruko, who is the main alien character, and like a couple of hints to the original series, they were like completely original. Huh. So the first series focuses obviously on Nauta, who is a sixth grader just about to come out of elementary school. The second one was about junior high students. FLCL Progressive, that was that one. It was about middle school students and a girl that is friends with nobody and basically getting her to come out of her shell and eventually fall in love. And then FLCL Alternative was about high school girls and their friendships with each other. And Haruko sort of just ending up with them and helping them deal with teenage life. It also has a killer soundtrack.
That's true. The soundtrack is, I think the soundtrack is more helpful with teenage life than anything else in the show.
I mean, so I saw FLCL when I was 8. So
really?
This was one of the shows that I would go down like at midnight. I would like sneak down from my room to the living room to turn on Adult Swim. And this was like at the advent of Adult Swim's anime block. And I would watch that and Cowboy Bebop. And those were like the two shows that like cemented my love of sci-fi.
Wow. Wow. I'm just trying to imagine watching Fooly Cooly that young and like what I would have seen. I don't know that I would have been able to see it. Do you know what I mean? Like it would all be a strange blur to me.
Well, I loved the music. I loved the visuals. I thought the characters were awesome. Like it was one of those things where it was like, I definitely did not understand it as well as could have been understood because I was eight.
But to be fair, not many people understood this. And to be even more fair, it's not really meant to be understood.
I mean, basically all you really need to know is that it's an anime about growing up and becoming your own person.
As so many animes are. But this anime does it in just 6 episodes and still manages to be one of the best animes in the world. So, like, fuck off, Naruto.
Oof. Yeah, I mean, I think a thing that definitely improved with my rewatchings over the years was understanding that neither Haruko nor Momimi really want relationships with Nauta.
Yeah.
Well, in Momimi's case, she sort of has no friends, and Nauta is the only person that she has any sort of emotional dealings with now that her boyfriend left to go to America. But Nauta is sort of just, as much as he doesn't want to admit it, has like crushes on both of them, and both of them are like, that's nice. We're going to go off and do our own things now.
Yep. Yeah. That's about it. Which you got to get used to hearing that out in the world. No place to learn that like anime.
It's true. But yes. It's one, as I said before, it is one of the series of my creative infancy. that led me to be who I am today. And I've also made a Haruko Haruhara burlesque act.
Amazing.
Because of this.
So, which, between FLCL and Evangelion, which of those, I mean, are you more loyal to FLCL? Do you feel like that impacted you more?
I would say that FLCL impacted me more, definitely, simply because, well, I also saw, I mean, I saw Evangelion at a later age when I was like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
So there was like less, I feel like FLCL for me definitely has like a nostalgia factor and like one of those like, like, it's the same thing with Cowboy Bebop, where it was like, this is a thing I aspire to
in my creative life.
Beautiful. That's a great combination. It's going to make for some wacky shit.
This is what I aspire to in my creative life. Where I think Neon Genesis Evangelion, I definitely, like, Evangelion is definitely one of those shows about being a teenager still, and obviously has the angst of being a teenager and like nobody understands me and I'm deeply broken.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's so fake deep and just such a like self-indulgent masturbatory experience.
Oh my God, we're gonna get hate mail for you saying that. I fucking hope we get hate mail for you saying that. I'm dying for hate mail.
Again, I love Evangelion for what it is, but I will be the first to admit that it is very masturbatory.
Well, and that's how I feel about Gurren Lagann. Is that I love it for what it is, but it is extraordinarily masturbatory.
Was there anything else I wanted to touch upon before we went on to Gurren Lagann?
Well, I think, yeah, and Kill la Kill, too, I think, goes right along with Gurren Lagann, or right after Gurren Lagann, chronologically. But I think that the two of them are sort of, like, bookend series about, like,
well,
hyper, like, masculinity in an anime context and femininity in an anime context.
They were
not
made
to read same too much.
They were made by the same director and writer.
Yeah. And they have, like, they're very different shows, but they have sort of like these inverse aesthetic vibes where it's like very similar aesthetics used for very different means.
Yes. Well, I feel like I had a discussion with my friend Andy about Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill after finishing Gurren Lagann. And I feel like, so obviously Kill la Kill was made after the writer and director left Gainax to make Studio Trigger. But
right.
I feel like, I mean, with Gurren Lagann, everybody dies.
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
A lot of people live.
A lot of people die. Even the main character's girlfriend gets, like, sort of fridged at the end.
Yeah, she gets fridged, that's for sure. It is a show that's, like, halfway about fridging as much as it is about anything else.
And, like, I mean, well, okay, I'll let you talk about it, and then we can have a discussion.
By all means! I mean, yeah, I think Gurren Lagann was one of those shows that I got really attached to before I came out, before I had like any sense of self, and it was just, I don't know, something about it made me so deeply existentially sad. Like that ending shot of Shimon when he goes and like flips the kids the coin at the end or whatever, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the drill. He gives them
the drill. He gives them the drill at the end. Oh my God, it's like, I don't know, there's something about that ending scene, and then he walks off, and the music was so good, and, like, I had a lot of, like, too deep college thoughts about Gurren Lagann. And I think I saw it in high school, And rewatched it many times. I would show this show to everybody. I'd be like, this is it. This is my favorite anime. And like, to this day, I think only Yuri on Ice and like Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood have replaced it. But those are my big three, which is a really weird three to have. But like, FMA Brotherhood should be at the top of everybody's list. Let's be real. Yuri on Ice should be at the top of everybody's list. Let's be real. And then Gurren Lagann is just my own personal flavor.
I mean, I didn't dislike it. I feel like I'm very picky about my shonen shows.
Yeah, and like, I didn't really get into Kill la Kill, and I know you did.
Yeah, well, right. Also because, like, Kill la Kill is a send-up to my favorite genre of all time, which is magical girl show.
Yes, and that is not my genre at all. Like, I was completely out of my depth watching Kill la Kill. And it felt really weird because I remember it came out and I was like, oh my God, they're gonna like have a bunch of women characters. I'll see myself represented. I think Gurren Lagann's heartwarming.
I understand Gurren Lagann's heartwarming as like it shows positive masculinity. But again, I feel like it's kind of ruined by all these people dying.
Right, but that's how masculinity is. It's great until you make people die for it. Important lessons to be learned here.
Fair. I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe it's just that, like, I mean, I definitely appreciated the space stuff. The space stuff is like where I live, but I don't know. Just everybody dies. Yoko can't have a love interest to save her life.
Yeah, she really. Yoko deserves so much better. All of the women in that show deserve so much better. Like, don't get me wrong. Like that show, like the characters just get treated horribly, and I think that my like sense of injustice and frustration over that wound up probably being the seed of more of my current politics than I even think, because I haven't rewatched this in a while. But why don't you tell me? Do you tell me what you love about Kill la Kill?
So, what I love about Kill la Kill is obviously that it's, well, one, ridiculous, but that, like, well, one, only I think like two people die in the whole thing. But, well, okay, so nobody, I think besides the parents, nobody dies. It's really about friendship and, like, sisterhood, because the two main characters turn out to be sisters.
That's right,
they get over their differences and fight their mom together.
And their mom is crazy, incestuous Lady Gaga, right?
Yes.
Right. With the awesome fucking, like, rainbow situation? Rainbow hair?
Yeah.
My God. The cosplayers who did that outfit, they scare the shit out of me. Because the level of craft and determination and just, like, fuck it, that you would have to have to create that costume, it's earth-shattering, really.
Yeah, and so they get over their differences, fight their mom, and then it ends with them going on, like, a group date with, like, the side character girl.
Oh, and the side... what's her name?
Mako?
It is Mako, right? Okay, I was going to say Mako. Yeah, that's the best character in, like, the whole series, and also one of the best characters in anime ever. Like, don't get me wrong, she's amazing.
Her memes alone are pretty fucking great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And her cosplayers are also fantastic because they're all darling and they're all, like, down to clown around the convention center. That sentence was badly set up, but you get what I mean.
I knew what you meant. Yes. I knew what you meant. But, yeah, also, like, Kill la Kill was the first anime that Studio Trigger made after leaving Gainax. So, like, I feel like this was their thing to prove. This was like, we want to make something ridiculous, but also, like, definitely like sort of makes fun, but also lovingly embraces the magical girl genre, but gives it like a shonen sort of flavor to it.
Yeah, it did a really good job of like making a shonen girls show, ironically. Like they did it. They took that on and I think they accomplished it. And I love that all of these shows have a legacy of the creators just being like, we're going to make something as ridiculous as physically possible. As a former Dan Angel fan, I respect the hell out of that.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm having flashbacks. Well, I think that also comes from, like, the philosophy of Gainax, where, like, Gainax was made in the 80s by a bunch of otaku that all went to college together.
Amazing.
And wanted to make fan videos for, like, their favorite Comic-Con.
Love it. That's a great way to get your start.
So, like, they've definitely always, like, as much as I make fun of them for being edgelords, like, they definitely come from a place of, like, loving anime as a medium and, like, loving the tropes and, like, history of anime.
Yeah.
And wanting to make the best product possible.
Yeah, and that really shows in everything that they make. Like, it's always an homage, like, an homage to the genre. Like, Gurren Lagann, I think they really tried to represent the best of mecha and Evangelion as well. Like, I think that Gurren Lagann is sort of like a condensed sort of sampler menu of mecha tropes, and then Evangelion has become one of like the greatest mecha animes of all time in its own right.
Because Evangelion basically embraced and then completely changed mecha tropes.
Yeah, like what other mecha was out at the time that Evangelion was happening? Like, who else? What was it up against in terms of other mech series and Gundam series? I
mean, there was Gundam, and there was Macross and like
okay
stuff like that, but there wasn't really
right. And those both do predate by quite a lot.
Yeah, Gundam is like the first ever mecha series, but like there wasn't really anything that like the reason that Evangelion is so, I think, world changing was the fact that it took the mecha genre and like took it to a very symbolistic philosophical sort of place, even if all of that philosophy was very fake, deep, Dead Sea Scrolls Christianity bullshit. I'm sorry, I'll just never get over Hideki Anno being like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything, it just looked cool.
I mean, not wrong. It does look cool, and nobody can figure out what it means. So, plausible. So what about Studio Trigger then? Who was it from Gainax that broke off for that?
A couple people did. Hiroyuki Imashi and Masahiko Osuka started Trigger in 2011. And yes, he was the one that directed Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. And I see that they actually also did Little Witch Academia, which I know got way more popular than I expected.
Yeah, they also did Darling in the Franxx, which was like another mecha anime that came out 2 years ago that I really, really enjoyed.
Oh, cool. So they're still going strong with like mecha tropes.
Yes, and I heard that Promare is also really good, but I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Cool.
I have to go watch that. but yeah, also, Studio Gonzo, which was another one, made a bunch of really, really famous stuff. Like, they made the first Helsing anime in Full Metal Panic and Last Exile, Desert Punk. Like, all of these things from that my childhood.
Stacked. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. So, like, basically, Gainax was sort of the catalyst for a good portion of my anime watching. Also, what else did Gainax make? They made the His and Her Circumstances anime, which is based off a manga that I really loved when I was like 12, 13.
I know that name. That's like a classic shoujo, right?
Yeah, and it's really funny because they got Hideki Anno to direct the first half of the series.
Okay, so I'm checking up on his Wikipedia page now as well, and it says his other directorial efforts include Kare Kano and Love and Pop. Kare Kano, yeah. I'm a little surprised.
And so, like, he famously left the project halfway through.
What?
I don't remember the exact the exact circumstances, but Anno isn't exactly a shoujo type of person.
Yeah, I really wouldn't expect that.
So it kind of makes sense that he was like, Panty and Stocking is also great.
I've heard that. Who made that?
Panty and Stocking was also made by Hiroyuki Imaishi, which was made by Studio Gainax. And it's kind of a send-up to every... It's basically a send-up to 1990s and early 2000s Nickelodeon.
Wow. That's a choice.
It's the plot is that there are two sister angels, Anarchy Stocking and Anarchy Panty, and they're thrown out of heaven because they're too chaotic.
Cute. Okay.
And they land in D-City. And they are teamed up with, like, a priest named Garterbelt. And they basically have to defeat monsters in D-City. And their weapons are panties turn into a gun. And stockings turn into katanas.
Wow, okay. And Panty and Stocking does predate Kill la Kill, doesn't it? So, like, yeah. I can see how those would flow into each other.
This came out in 2010.
Wow.
So.
I love that, like, everything that has sprung from, like, Evangelion is just very different kinds of absurd. Like, it's incredible that we can trace a line from Panty and Stocking back to Evangelion.
Well, the other interesting thing is that reading the wiki, it says, the term Gainax ending has been used in reference to several Gainax productions to describe an ending to a work which is surreal or seems to come out of nowhere and resolve little.
Yes. Yes, that is a thing. God, that's a thing.
Well, I feel like the thing about my favorite Gainax shows is that more often than not, there isn't really any concrete ships. Besides friendship.
That's true. I cannot say that like, even with all of my love for Gurren Lagann, that I ever really shipped anything, like, really. Like, I may have dabbled and poked around and thought, do I want this? But, like, I never really, that wasn't the point of the show.
Well, also, again, like, I feel like with both Gurren Lagann, Evangelion, and FLCL, like, all of the relationships don't end in relationships.
Or they're, like, family in some capacity.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the whole thing about End of Evangelion is that, like, Shinji finds out that Rei is partially his mom, and he and Asuka loathe each other by the end.
God.
And then in FLCL, FLCL, it's a 12-year-old boy having crushes on the older women in his life, and both right. of them being like, you have to grow up, and we're going to go live our own lives, peace.
Yeah, which is great advice. Again, great advice.
I mean, I guess, well, grow and again,
up,
this...
Grow up and let women live their own lives, FLCL.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's hinted at that, like, he might start a relationship with the class president, but that's not really something that they concretely explain. At least, like, she's his own age.
Gynax ending here, class president.
Like, even with Studio Trigger, like, while, again, like, Kill la Kill ends in a group date, it isn't exactly entirely clear whether or not both girls are dating Mako, or one girl is dating Mako, or this is just their quasi-lesbian friendship. That Japan is so fond of.
You gotta have them. Gotta have them.
I mean, well, Panty and Panty and Stocking is overtly sexual and, like, has sex with everybody, but she doesn't really have any non-sexual relationships. Or, well, I guess romantic relationships is the word that I'm looking for.
Mm. Yeah. Do you ship her with, like, a nice romantic relationship?
I don't know.
No? Not even.
I mean, like, Panty and Stocking was never supposed to be about romantic relationships.
That's fair. That's fair. And, like, ultimately, neither was Gurren Lagann. I don't really know that Kill la Kill was. It sounds like Evangelion had too much other shit going on to dwell on romance.
It had,
like, I mean, who can think about romance when you're thinking about your mom?
Well, and also the apocalypse.
And the apocalypse. Both are things I've been thinking about this week. So I also don't have time to think about romance.
I mean, well, like, Misato and Kaji are a ship in Evangelion, but Kaji also dies. Like,
sometimes that makes for the best ships.
Three-fourths, I mean, into the series.
As we've established in all of my ships, someone dies. It's literally, we established that in, like, episode one, that it's a thing in all of my ships that somebody is dead.
And, like, unfortunately, I feel like Kaji and Misato's relationship is, like, the healthiest ship in all of Evangelion, and that's saying something, because they're, like, late 20-somethings that just bang all the time.
Well, when all this is over, we should get somebody on the podcast to talk about Evangelion shipping.
Oh, wait, no, okay. There is one ship from Evangelion that I do sort of love, which is Shinji and Karu.
Oh, I know that ship. I remember that ship. People have told me about that ship. Is one of the people in that ship described as gay Jesus, or is that somebody else?
I mean, that's not necessarily far off. I mean,
okay, so that's why I know about it then.
Karu is, he is the fourth child? He might be the fifth child, but basically he's one of the children piloting the Evas that, like Rei, is part angel, and he ends up having to be killed by Shinji because he's with the angels trying to destroy the world. And he's very open about having a crush on Shinji and, like, seeing him romantically. And, like, that is the one yaoi ship, boys love ship in Evangelion, is Karu and Shinji.
That's quite a popular ship, and I can understand why, if one of them has to kill the other. I mean, nothing gets you going like that. I mean, if you haven't...
I mean, again, his other options are Rei, who is half angel, half his mom, a clone of his mom, who has a questionable relationship with his dad.
Right. And
Asuka, who is like the tsundere of the series, where they basically fight each other like throughout the entire series until they end up being the Adam and Eve at the end of Evangelion, and they loathe each other and Shinji tries to kill her.
But wow. That all sounds terrible. Should have stayed with gay Jesus. maybe there'll be a second coming.
Well, I mean, there's the Evangelion reboot, which they're finally ending this year, hopefully, because it was supposed to be four movies, and the last movie came out in 2012, and the fourth movie is supposed to come out this year, later this year. We'll see if that changes because of the plague, but I'm looking forward to seeing how Anno takes this one. Because again, the last ending of Evangelion was a teenage boy trying to strangle a teenage girl and then her calling him disgusting while the world is destroyed around them.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing you recap whatever the new end is.
I don't know. Like, I guess in conclusion, what I can say about Gainax is they represent both the best and the worst of anime, and that is why I love them.
Beautiful. I will take it. I think that's deep enough. Maybe our listeners can read some more into it in the spirit of Evangelion and Gainax. quick, think of a Gainax ending. All right, while you're thinking, I'll just say, if you want to tweet a Gainax ending at us, we're on Twitter at DefendYourShip, and you can also email us at DefendYourShip@gmail.com. And Raina, have you thought of a Gainax ending for us yet?
Aliens come down from the sky, and we all have to defeat them.
Oh my god, there's aliens in my apartment! Oh my god, Raina! Oh my god, they're here right now! Oh my god!